Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Hello, this is Abe Thompson coming to you from SecureSet here in Colorado Springs on the New Cyber Frontier. I'm online with our special guest, Mr. Andrew Malin, who's also known as the Blockchain Writer, has an eminent blog out there, and as it says on his website, one-stop shop for a discussion on the subject matter. So looking forward to a discussion with you, Andrew.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. We also have with us in studio Mr. Chris Gorog, our regular host here and establisher of this fantastic podcast. And thanks for having me on to help you out here, Chris.
Sure.
So, Andrew, talk to me about the experience that's led you up to this point in having a really successful blog and sort of gaining some preeminence on the subject matter of blockchain.
Sure. So the first time that I heard about Bitcoin, I was actually living in the Pacific Islands back in 2014. And, I was out having a bunch of eat at a restaurant, and it just so happened that these German guys were sitting next to me at a table. And, you know, we got into talking, and they had asked me if I heard about blockchain or, you know, Bitcoin. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, they said that their money was locked up in an exchange. And, you know, I didn't really know what that meant at the time. I didn't really understand the lingo. But, you know, later I found out that they actually had, you know, their money locked up in Mt. Gox. And, you know, from that point on, I was just kind of hooked into reading more about Bitcoin. I was teaching over there. I was a volunteer teacher. And then I moved back to the United States in 2016. And that's when I really started to, look more into cryptocurrency, research more about it. And then, you know, 2017, I really started to invest and write about it. And I started to blog at the end of, or I started Bounty Base, my blog at the end of 2017. And I've been writing white papers and, you know, doing digital marketing and stuff like that for the industry since.
Yeah. What is your background? Are you come from a business background, a technology? Where do you get your interest and where does it initially come from?
Sure. So I actually come from a communication background. That is what my undergrad bachelor's degree is in. And that's, you know, where I have 10 years of experience writing for, you know, different journalism outlets, writing for, you know, digital journalism, print, you know, paper, local newspapers. But then I also have experience with marketing, and, you know, I just had an interest in blockchain and in crypto. And, you know, some of my friends had told me that I was just talking about it too much, and I should just start a blog. So I put my experience in the communication industry and in the marketing industry into blockchain, and that's kind of where I met my passions and my career.
I, for one, am definitely glad to have you in sort of the dialogue, because obviously, as we know, the cybersecurity industry in general needs all kinds. We need folks that can articulate the important pieces of this discipline, and so to have fellow communicators join us in this industry is a great thing. Interestingly enough, my undergraduate work was in public relations and interpersonal communication, in addition to sort of the technical pieces that I covered when I was in undergrad. So and I found my niche here as well. So glad to have another communications geek here with me, in addition to someone interested in our discipline here in cybersecurity. You talk about on your, the front page of your blog, you talk about your clients and business partners. Why have they come to you, and what service are you providing?
Sure. So a lot of what needs to take place now in the sure. Your whole project.
A lot of great pieces in there. Let's take a minute and go to our sponsor.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
And we're back. This is Abe Thompson here on the new Cyber Frontier, coming to you from SecureSet here in Colorado Springs. On the line, we have our guest, Mr. Andrew Malin, who is known as the blockchain writer. Also in the studio with me is Mr. Chris Gorog. So, Andrew, you'd mentioned community as a component of, you want to draw the community together because you can articulate the message. Continue to unpack that for us a little bit, if you would.
Sure. So, a really important part of blockchain and kind of the mass adoption of blockchain is community development with the different blockchain projects.
Sure.
Particularly if you look at, maybe AOS, they are really community driven, and they are, their stakeholder community is really the heart of what makes that technology become more mainstream. So in the blockchain tech world, being able to create a community, being able to interact with that community, that's valued, that's highly valued, maybe even more so than under other industries. Being able to have a genuine interaction with people is, a highly demanded skill. So I try to, capitalize that and, use my expertise and deliver that for my clients.
Okay. So I would love to have your perspective on cryptocurrency 101. Can you just give us a couple minutes on what it is when you say you're unpacking this so that, even somebody in high school or elementary school could understand it? Can you give us that, kind of that brief, here's what cryptocurrency is?
Sure. So the most basic use for cryptocurrency is being able to send payments from one person to the next digitally, a digital payment. That's what, Bitcoin is, peer-to-peer payment solution. So I can send one Bitcoin to you, to your address, digitally over the computer, over a mobile phone, over some kind of a network. That's a very kind of elementary, kind of dumbed down version of it. the transparency.
Yeah. So when you're looking at kind of the use case that's societal, that's business, that you're talking about, how much does that entry-level person you talk to need to know about the technology? Do you even really cover that? Are people asking about that? How much do you get involved with, you know, here's how it works under the hood? Or is it just like, here's what it's used for, let's adopt it for society, for business, for whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of layers to understanding technology and how far you want to go for someone that's pursuing, you know, blockchain or they're interested in cryptocurrency. You need to have, you know, some very basic understanding. It's mandatory to understand cryptocurrency because it happens on the internet. Transactions take place over the internet. So, you know, at the very baseline, you need to understand, you know, a little bit of how the internet works, or at the very least, you need to understand what the internet is. But of course, you can go, you know, as far as you want down the rabbit hole, per se, in terms of the technology that you can understand. You know, if you want to invest in cryptocurrency, you need to understand a great deal of technology. You're going to have to go and, you know, sign up on an account, make an account on, you know, a site like, you know, Coinbase or Binance, and you're going to have to, you know, be able to enter into, you know, your bank account information and stuff like that. So, you know, that's still a hill for some people in, you know, the global population. You know, even further, if you want to trade cryptocurrency, you need to understand technology to the point where you can understand, you know, that you're sending cryptocurrency in your wallet and the address that corresponds with your wallet to someone in another place with their wallet and their address. So depending on how much you want to know about, you know, cryptocurrency, how far you want to pursue cryptocurrency, that highly depends on the level of technology that you need to understand.
This idea of the crypto wallet, Andrew, has gained some obvious interest from even those in the broader community, broader technology and business community. Unpack to, again, your average reader, the concept of a crypto wallet.
Okay, so, you know, you can go to my Ether wallet, Mu, and it's also known as, that's a pretty common example of a crypto wallet. So, basically, what you'll do is, you know, you'll set up an account on Mu, and, you know, it's kind of hard to understand at first, because it's not like setting up an account on, you know, Facebook or some kind of second website. It's, you know, you put your address into, you have to send cryptocurrency from another place to your new wallet. So your new wallet is basically where the cryptocurrency is held. And in the new wallet, there's a unique address, and there's a private key and a public key. So the private key is a key that, you know, it's a series of digits, and the private key, you can't share that with anyone, because that's how you bought into your wallet. That code is, you know, some people write it down, some people store it online, but the private key is how you access your wallet. And the public key is how you, that's what you send to another person who would put your address,
Let's take a quick pause and go hear from our sponsor, and we'll pick this up in just a second.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
And we're back here at the New Cyber Frontier. Our guest is Mr. Andrew Malin, otherwise known as the Blockchain Writer. This is Abe Thompson here at SecureSet in the studio with Mr. Chris Gorog. Andrew, you're just kind of unpacking the idea of a crypto wallet. You talked about the private key and then sort of the implementation on the other side of the public key. You want to pick up there?
Sure. So, like I said, the private key is the secure series of numbers that you would keep private to yourself, and that's how you access your address. Right. But to get cryptocurrency sent to your address, you would need to give out what's called the public key. So someone that wants to send you cryptocurrency would need your public key, and what they would do is they would go to their trade screen or their withdrawal screen or whatever, you know, platform they're on, and they would enter in your public key, and from their platform, they would send you cryptocurrency to your public key. And, you know, just to be clear, both the private key and the public key, they go to the same place, the same address. It's just that the private key is what's private to you, and the public key is, you know, what is visible and how other people can get in touch with you. But people can't access your wallet if they don't have the private key. If they didn't have the public key, they wouldn't be able to access it.
Indeed, while that may be fundamental to a number of our listeners, truly, you know, the majority are so uninformed yet as to the complexities inside of this space. A quick question for you, Andrew, not necessarily to put you on the spot, but have you been following kind of what's happened here in Colorado with regard to blockchain? Have you heard about our recent legislation? Sure. It was interesting, given that you're a journalist in the space. I know it might be of interest to you, and Chris can really speak to this, but we've recently had blockchain legislation specifically passed here in Colorado. You want to unpack that for him a little bit, Chris?
Yeah, we in the state, they have a desire to have visibility in some of the state governance, some of the governance of the programs in the state, like a Medicaid or property records, things like that, where there's a public access piece of it and then a government control piece. So they passed legislation to have platforms and programs evaluated for the strength of adding distributed ledger, and then that gives them a way to fund those programs, is what this first legislation was about. And then a lot of money went into education in universities all over the state for getting the workforce that'll be needed for blockchain to be savvy on blockchain for doing the development and the growth that's needed. So they really see that there's a big value not only for, you know, within their state programs, but for a workforce in the state of Colorado to be kind of ahead of the times.
Yeah,
the state's really thinking progressively and looking at that. So I'm really kind of happy to be involved with this effort here.
Yeah, that's tremendous. One of the biggest problems with blockchain and the future and the success of it is that there's not enough people, not enough technical, specialized people that can, you know, do the work. The saying is that, you know, for every 14 jobs, or for every one candidate in blockchain, there's 14 available jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like that's the same with even like the writing aspect of it. It's just, there's not, the numbers aren't there.
Yeah.
You know, that actually occurred to me earlier, Andrew. I was thinking, you know, probably with your sort of splash on the marketplace in terms of the journalistic side, there's, I don't know if you feel an onus, or do you perhaps have sort of a calling to educate your fellow journalists so they can help you, you know, carry this torch? Because certainly it's, you know, it's bigger than all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my major goals, is to help people that are passionate about writing and passionate about cryptocurrency. I just want to educate people to let them know that the space Yeah. I have a YouTube, that's, it's just getting started off the ground last week. And I have a video up on there, but it's about that very subject, educating people on how they can make money, writing about cryptocurrency and how they can actually, make a living. So, yeah, that's a big goal of mine.
Neat. Is that something they can find right off of your blockchainwriter.com, the blockchainwriter.com, or is that a separate channel?
If you just go to YouTube and you just type in the Blockchain Writer, okay, that's the name of the channel. So
perfect.
You can find it that way.
Perfect. That's intriguing, exciting. And I like your notion of quote unquote sharing the wealth there. That's really builds into what a lot of us see as an important component of the cybersecurity industry is the community approach. It's not like, again, it's bigger than all of us. It's not just one person. It's not just a cash cow for a certain couple of folks. There's plenty of work for all of us.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So as far as the future of blockchain, we know it's been very well defined as a cryptocurrency. A lot of excitement there, but we talked before. I do my research and my dissertation for my doctorate on blockchain. So quite actively involved with the governance aspects and the next generation. I'm curious what your thoughts are for the future of blockchain. What do you see from that journalistic standpoint of what's the capabilities, possibilities for Generation 2, Generation 3 blockchain that might not be even related or look like cryptocurrency at all?
Sure. So I think that, one of the biggest applications for blockchain is to be able to eliminate, unnecessary bottlenecks or quote-unquote middlemen from different industries where they're not necessary. Just one example off the bat, there's a blockchain called Freight Network, FR, and then the number 8, and they deal with trucking and the transportation industry.
Oh, cool.
And basically, right now, there's this freight broker rule that can drive up the costs of freight shipping 20%. They can take a 20% cut on the just the responsibility of connecting the supplier to the destination where it's going to be shipped to. So freight actually just connects one end to the other without necessarily needing a freight broker, and their transaction fee is much smaller than the 20% or upwards that freight brokers use. So just eliminating bottlenecks from industries, I think that we'll see a lot of growth in that particular application for blockchain.
That's great news, but I hope you have good security, because you probably just alienated half of those union guys out there that that were getting that extra cut. But that's great news, actually. Implementation and use of technology to really help consumers and help all of us actually get along with all of our varying economic restrictions. That's great to hear.
How much do you think that, ride sharing growth we've seen in the last couple of years as an example, how much do you think, though, that this levelization of taking everything to the individual, knocking out the middleman, really upsets the business structure we've had for, we'll say, thousands of years, that everything becomes kind of a level playing field? Yes, it's benefit to the consumer, but does it change something that isn't beneficial?
Yeah, that's a good point that I think about a lot. With the progress of blockchain, how many jobs will be taken? I like to believe that, a lot of jobs are being created with blockchain, but obviously there's going to be, that gap between, the jobs being lost and, people being able to catch up with the new technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's serious, taking away the infrastructure from, the way the modern world works, and that's not something that could be done overnight, if at all. It's really unpredictable how far the movement to the individual per se can go.
Well, and there's certainly paradigms to be overcome, but as we've seen time and time again throughout the various revolutions, Industrial Revolution, and in fact the former deputy director of NSA. He was at one of our SecureSec graduations, and he said the cybersecurity revolution is just as profound and history impacting as any of the others we've seen. And so the reality is we have recovered before. We have grown to the next thing before. You know, when jobs are taken away, people have moved and gone to them. So it is a part of, I think, natural progression historically. And it's just a matter of people like you, honestly, and educators like Chris and others to help people weather that change.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some new winners, but there's also going to be some whole industries eliminated.
Yeah.
Like with Uber, like I mentioned, the taxi cab industry has just been decimated.
And
there's going to be the same thing in a lot of areas where, you know, I think this blockchain revolution, or I might even say it's more of a logistics control revolution.
Yeah. Well, industry controls, you know, a number of those things. I know matchmakers are going to be upset, you know, eHarmony and whatever else. If you can validate somebody through blockchain, sheesh, you don't even have to go through eHarmony anymore. Oh, dear. Yeah, I guess the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. So what do you, as far as what you're doing, your efforts, what kind of things do you need help with? You need to shout out that you need the community involved with? I don't know if we talked about before, we have the blockchain development community here in Colorado Springs, and we'd like to keep in touch with you and your efforts and partner how we can. But tell us about what you need our audience to help you with or engage with.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, just checking out my website, The Blockchain Writer, if you need any sort of writing projects done in, you know, the tech or blockchain space, you know, just let me know. If, you know, you want to check out the projects that I work on, one of the coolest projects that I'm working on right now is Unicoin.life on Star Engine, and it's actually, it's not an ICO, it's in what's called an OPO, or an online public offering, and, you know, I'm really working with Chris and Steve, the guys that founded the company, really cool to work with. So, you know, check out the projects that I'm involved with. I support those projects. You know, I'm obviously not a financial advisor or anything like that, and I don't claim to be. And I, you know, strongly suggest that you make any sort of financial decisions under the advisor or financial advisor. But, you know, support my project, support me, and, you know, I'd love to talk to you if you have any questions about the blockchain or, you know, writing in general. I'd love to reach out and, you know, send me a message.
Sure. You know, put in a local plug at our last year's National Cybersecurity Symposium. You know, we had General Petraeus out and Vance Brown, who's the current CEO of the National Cybersecurity Center. We had the mayor and our governor of Connecticut present. But one of the things Vance kind of put forward was that he wants Colorado Springs in particular to be the most educated blockchain town in the nation. And so, you know, obviously we're biased here in the Springs, but what that also indicates is a need and a drive and a desire to educate. And I think that somebody like you is in a good position to help make that happen. And if you want to do it for Colorado Springs, of course, we'd appreciate that. But, you know, we have a wide audience. So there's definitely a place for you in this space, and we're glad to have it.
Thank you so much. And, you know, thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Indeed, it's been our pleasure. This is Abe Thompson. We've had on board with us Mr. Andrew Malin, known as the Blockchain Writer. He's got a lot of activity going on, been an effective journalist here, and getting us started, educating the rest of journalists and the rest of us on the importance and the profound nature of blockchain and its impact on industry and the world. Also in the studio with me, Mr. Chris Gorog, our regular host. And it's been a pleasure to come to you from SecureSec here in Colorado Springs. This is the new Cyber Frontier. Thank you.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.